when we continue to read here, it says in verse 7, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Paul said it was already, that Satan was already within that first era working. All right? So he says it'll be there until it's taken out of the way. Verse 8, and then talking about this day of the Lord. And then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume. See, he's going to be revealed. We have already revealed him. No one else has ever revealed the man of sin. No one else has ever known who the man of sin was. At this time, he has been revealed. That's why we know the gathering unto Christ is soon. How soon? I don't know. Hopefully it's in our lifetime. But we're going to do the job until we die. Then God will carry on what he wants to do, if that's the case. It says, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and get this, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. What did he do to Uzziah? He took off part of that temple and he exposed him. He revealed him. He revealed the sin that was going on. And he made him leprous. Just the way Satan is. He's leprous and he's going to die. He's never going to be with us. And Christ is going to consume him. And so God is showing us in his scriptures here in Zechariah with this... when Christ comes there to destroy all mankind and all spirit beings and Satan, this Mount of Olives, he shows us the timing of that and what's going to happen. And it is a time where he's going to destroy Satan. And so he is destroyed. Remember, Satan is twice dead. Man is only going to die once. But it talks about Satan being twice dead in Jude 12. You can read about that. And it talks about in 2 Peter 2, verse 12, it talks about all these satanic beings, these brute beasts, made, created to be destroyed. So at the end here, all, in this day of the Lord, all bad spirit beings and all mankind, all life is dead, and all is turned to dust. And that, my friends, is his fourth coming. Now it's quiet. The earth has been basically destroyed, at least the surface. And how long of a period until Christ comes the fifth time in the new heavens and the new earth? His true, real, you know, second coming, as we all have in our minds as far as that definition of a second coming, when he really does come forever and sets up his kingdom of God. I don't know how long of a period. Hopefully it won't be long. But it won't matter. Everyone's dead except us, his first fruits, and the Father and his angels. So whatever time period it is, it is. But now we come to the second resurrection. Now we're coming to the time that we're going to see him the fifth time on this earth, or that he will make his appearance. Turn over to Daniel 12. Let's set the scene very quickly. You know, once you know the plan of God, all the scriptures start to make sense. You don't have to maneuver scriptures around to fit into some, frankly, some satanic counterfeit of the plan of salvation. So in Daniel 12, just to set the scene here, verses 1 and 2, it says, and at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which stands for the people, or the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there a nation, even to the same time. To that same time. This is going to be of all time. This is what we just read about, this day of the Lord. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that is found written in the book. We'll get into these books as well. And many of them that slept in the dust of the earth shall awake. Some, so there's going to be two groups here coming up in this, and this is the second resurrection. It's obviously a resurrection. Some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And now we're going to read about who these people are and what these spirits are. Who comes up to everlasting life and who comes up to contempt. This is the second resurrection. Let's turn over to Ezekiel 37. It set the time for this. This is the famous scripture that we all know. Chapter about the valley of dry bones. Okay? Let's set the timing for this. We're not going to go into an in-depth study. I'm going to give you what the truth is about. You can go back later and read this and get this all in context and read the chapters around it. So in Ezekiel 37, and this talks about this valley of dry bones, and in verses 1 through 10, it's talking about these valley of dry bones. And again, Ezekiel is in this vision, so he's seeing this. And he sees, like in verse 5, he sees all these bones, and he brings the flesh upon them, and the cover with the skin in verse 6. And finally, the air comes to everything, where the breath of life is given, and these things stand up as human beings. And they are an exceedingly great army of people. It's not an army with swords, it's a people. Everyone who's ever lived is standing there. This is the time of people coming up in the white robes, standing before God in that judgment time. This, my friends, is the second resurrection, and this is the great last day. Now, there's a judgment to happen first, and then the new heavens and new earth. But let's set the timing in verse 11. It says, then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. This is at the end. This is the last resurrection. And that is the second resurrection. This is when all mankind comes before God. And this is the whole house of Israel. Because everyone has just been killed. And now everyone is resurrected, no matter when you lived. Anytime you lived, you're up. It says, this is the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried, and our hope is lost. We are cut off from our parts. And that's about what they're going to say when they first come up. They're not going to know where they are. They're going to know they've been resurrected. A lot of them died in physical war, hand-to-hand combat and everything else. It says, therefore, verse 12, prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves, it's the resurrection, and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. This will give us more timing here. Verse 13, and you shall know that I am the Lord. And it says, when? And I ask the question, when? When are they going to know that God is the Lord of Israel here? It says, when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves. Gives you more timing. And shall put my spirit in you. And you shall live. These are physical human beings brought out of the grave with flesh and bone and blood and air. He will put his spirit within them, bring them up out of that grave, then put his spirit in them. And you shall live. And I shall place you in your own land. Then shall you know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it. This is the great last day. This is when everyone is going to be brought back and brought back to their families and in the lands that God had promised the forefathers. This is where they're going to dwell and dwell safely. Verse 22. He starts to talk to them. They've just come up. They're standing there. We're seeing a picture here of what's happening. When all these people come up in white robes. Flesh. Okay? And I will make them one nation in the land upon the mountains of Israel. And he generally always speaks about Israel first, because he chose them to be his people for a purpose. And they are going to be a purpose in the great last day forever. They're going to be there in Jerusalem. And one king shall be king to them all. And they shall be no more two nations, neither shall they be divided into two kingdoms anymore. It's all going to be a family the way it's supposed to be. And a nation that God said he was going to do this to. He says, neither are they going to defile themselves. There's not going to be any idols. There's not going to be any transgressions. And the last part of verse 23 says, so shall they be my people. Remember that. So shall they be my people, and I will be their God. This shows timing. When is this going to happen? We're going to read that. Verse 24, and David, my servant, shall be king over them, and they shall have one shepherd, and they shall also walk in my judgments. All of you who wanted to get rid of laws and judgments and commandments have bad news for you. It's going to be there forever. But you know what? People are going to finally be happy because they're going to actually follow God. My judgments and observe my statutes and do them. And they shall dwell in the land that I have given to Jacob my servant, where my fathers have dwelt. Goes on to say, their children and their children's children forever. They're going to dwell there forever. Nothing's going to ever disturb this. And my servant David shall be their prince forever. David, as we know, is going to come up in the second resurrection and going to be a human being. And he's going to be that prince and that king forever with all of these people and all of their children forever. And we know the increase of his government shall never end. And they'll continue to have children forever. It's going to be a glorious time. It says, moreover, in verse 26, I will make a covenant of peace with them. It shall be an everlasting covenant with them. And I will place them and multiply them. Are there any questions here? Go argue with God. I will place them and multiply them and set my sanctuary in the midst of them forevermore. Remember this. He's going to put a sanctuary there forevermore. You can read scriptures that tell you the timing on this. Verse 27, and my tabernacle also shall be with them. And where his tabernacle is where God is. Yes, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No question here. It's not if they're good, they'll be my... These are my people. Because Satan is gone at this point. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, do sanctify Israel. When my Well, my sanctuary shall be in the midst of them forevermore. Now, at this particular instant, Satan and his demons are going to be alive. We're going to read about that. And they're going to see all the blessings. They're going to see that God established his name on all of this. And it's going to be for witness forever for everyone. It's forevermore. Not for time, forevermore. But when is this going to be? Let's look in Zechariah 2 real quick. Zechariah 2. Give some little timing here. We'll just read a couple of scriptures. And if I have to go long today, I will, because we are finishing this. We have other things to take care of before Passover comes. In Zechariah 2, I, of course, turned right to Zechariah 14, where we've been working with. Zechariah 2, verse 10. It says, "Sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion." This is talking about this great last day, and it tells you when. "For lo, I come and will dwell in the midst of you," just like we read, said the Lord. "And many nations shall be joined to the Lord in that day," all of them will, "and shall be my people, and I will dwell in the midst of them. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me unto you. And the Lord shall inherit Judah, his portion, in the holy land, and shall choose Jerusalem again." He's going to choose it again. It says, "Be silent, O all flesh." This is flesh there, not all spirit beings. These are flesh. "Before the Lord, for he has raised up out of his holy habitation." And he's going to be there in Jerusalem, and it's going to be holy. Turn to Joel. Tells you exactly when it's going to be holy. Can't be holy. It's Joel Amos. Joel 3. When is this going to be holy? In Joel 3:17, it's talking about the great last day here again. "So shall you know that I am the Lord your God." Let me read that again. "So shall you know that I am the Lord your God dwelling in Zion." When he dwells in Zion, my holy mountain. Then shall Jerusalem be holy, and there shall be no strangers," or when you look it up, "armies pass through her anymore." Satan won't be there. The evil won't be there. That is when Jerusalem is holy. So let's turn to Revelation 20. Let's zero in now. See what he has to say about this great last day. What's going to happen exactly? Revelation 20. This is the time we've already read about. Which goes through the earlier part where he talks about him being Satan being taken away for 1,000 years, and we're going to be with Christ for 1,000 years and rule and reign. And we are. And it's going to be in heaven. For 1,000 years. And it comes down here. Remember, this is what has just happened in verse 9. "And went up on the breadth of the earth and encompassed the camp of the saints about." And this is when he gathers Gog, Magog, all this stuff together. As we know, all the four quarters of the earth. He fights. This is the day of the Lord, the beloved city. "And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them." This is when everything melts with fervent heat and it's done. Okay, that's to set the scene. Now in verse 10 in chapter 20, we start getting into the nitty-gritty of the great last day. Now I've already read to you what's going to happen. in that great last day, in physical Israel and King David, is going to be peace forevermore, and his sanctuary is going to dwell there. But there is going to be a judgment. And God explains and shows us exactly how what this judgment is going to be. It's going to be very simple and very quick and very stunning. So, as we read in Daniel, at this point, everyone is gathered up. Some are going to go to eternal life. Some are going to go into corruption, damnation, eternal death. We know that. So that we know there's two groups. So it says here, this is the beginning of this judgment. Verse 10, and the devil that deceived them, deceived all these people, was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast, the false prophet, John's telling you again, don't get mixed up. This is the one. This is Satan, period. Once and for all, this is all Satan, the different forms that he has taken, and shall be tormented day and night, forever and ever. And we know from other scriptures that it is the smoke rising up forever and ever. You know, once you have a bonfire, the fire goes out, and the thing, at least, that was there was consumed. But the smoke rises forever and ever, just keeps on going up. And it's gone. And it's gone forever, never to be brought back. So John is looking here. This is the great last day, second resurrection. All the people standing there, and also Satan and the demons, resurrected from the dust of the earth. Remember, now they all too have been dead once. All those spirit, bad spirit beings. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. See, the old earth, the old thing, all that was gone. This is the new heaven and new earth. So in verse 12, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, everyone who's ever lived, standing there, white robes, and the books were opened. And these we know as the Bible, because that's what judgment is going to come from, is the words in these books. We remember reading all of that. This is how he judges, by this book, not by some man's idea that you don't have to keep the Ten Commandments. You don't have to worship and keep the Sabbath day. Man told you that. God told you to keep it. And that's what you're judged on. That's what Satan is judged on. So the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And it's true. But he does it as a group. And we're going to see that right now. And we have to understand that this book of life that it mentions, that's the book of life where all human beings that have ever lived, their names have been written in that book of life. There's another book, and that's the Lamb's book. And that's the first fruits are written in that one. So there is difference in books here. In verse 13, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. He's talking about the grave again. And they were judged, every man according to their works. So right here, it just says that. It doesn't really set the scene. It doesn't show you what's going to really happen, does it? Well, it was very fortunate for us that God inspired Jesus Christ to speak in parables and give us some insight exactly how that's going to look on that day and how he's going to judge. And we have the whole thing set right out in front of us. And this is his fifth coming. This is the great time. Turn over to Matthew 25. You thought, and I thought, because we were told, and because of Satan's counterfeit, and understanding that plan, it didn't hurt us, but we know now. But here, we thought, boy, you know, if we didn't go out there and work in those soup lines, if we didn't give somebody, you know, some clothes, and we didn't do this and that, we were going to be judged harshly, and we were going to go to hell. And so everyone could get up and fear religion and put the thumb over you and rule over you and rule over you with guilt to make you go out and do things. Well, that's not the way it is. Let's read exactly what this day is going to look like. And that's in Matthew 25. We'll start in verse 31. This is a parable. And this is an insight. See, it's not a parable to us. We see it. We understand it. Christ spoke in parables so they couldn't understand it. Now, obviously, even within the church, we didn't. So it's not an automatic thing to see through parables, is it? So verse 31. This is this day of judgment. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory. Remember those scriptures we read about when His true glory was going to be revealed? It was at the end. It was at the second coming, or at the second resurrection. It was at the great last day. That's when His true glory is revealed. That's why we read those scriptures. Shall come in His glory and all the holy angels with Him. Then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. It's that great white throne. Now He's going to have judgment. And before Him shall be gathered all nations. And He shall separate them one from another, as a sheep dividing the sheep from the goats. You know, Satan's standing there too. And the demons are standing there too. And they were princes over nations. And they were kings over nations. Yeah, He's going to divide the nations. The good nations, the people, and the bad nations, the kingdoms of Satan. And He shall set the sheep on His right hand. Now we know who the sheep is. I don't have to go into explanation about that. That's the people. The people have always been His sheep. We're sheep in His church, and they're sheep as His children. And all mankind is going to be standing there. And Jesus Christ is going to come. He's going to set all the sheep, all the people in white robes. He's going to send everyone that's ever lived. He's going to set them on His right hand. But the goats, Satan, his demons, all of those princes, He's going to say, get over here, get on my left. That's where the division is. And then He's going to turn. He's going to say to all the people who have ever lived, all of His children, all of our brothers and sisters, He's going to say to them in white robes, then shall the King say unto them, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. This is for all mankind. It was never a contest. God had something to work out. He had a plan to work out. But the people, the sheep, were going to come. And they all were going to come into that kingdom prepared from the foundation of the world. And they did. And they will. In this parable. And then he goes on. People say, well, why are you letting us into the kingdom? I thought we were so bad. He says, well, because when you were hungry and I was hungry, you fed me. When I this, that. Well, when did we see you do that, Lord? And when do we do that? Well, he said, when you did it to the smallest and the least of them, you did it to me. People raise their children. Don't they give them blankets? Don't they give them clothes? Don't they feed them? Don't you take care of each other? You've done it in spite of the satanic thing. And that is what God has put within mankind, all mankind. You even took care of your animals. You know, the majority of everyone was kind to their little animals that they had and their pets. Even if it was fish, you fed them. So God's creation. You know, God created that all within mankind. And we are our brother's keeper. And the reason we haven't been able to do that more successfully is because of Satan's nature and this stinking, lousy world of Satan, which right now, in this time period, in this great last day, in this judgment, he's going to take care of once and for all. So he says to everyone on his right hand, all the sheep, all the people, come on in, come in. You're in the kingdom forever. And now Christ turns to his left. Says, a little different thing's going to happen here. So in verse 41, he's going to do this according to their works. Yes. Exactly. He says in verse 41, then shall he say unto them on his left, which is Satan, all of his demons and princes, all of the satanic nations that he had, spirit nations, he says, depart from me. Doesn't look like much of a trial going on here. Looks like it was pretty well set. Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. That's who's going there. This death and hell are going into there. That's what's on his left hand. And that's what he's talking about right here in this parable that no one's ever understood. He's showing you what's going to happen when he sits on that white throne in this great last day. And it starts off with this judgment. And Satan would have, remember the scripture that we read? He would have seen that God chose Israel, didn't he? And that he put his sanctuary with the people. Not with Satan. Satan witnessed this. He just saw them go into the kingdom. And he's on the outside. And now he just got thrown in. Remember? Twice dead. Men die once. Satan, twice dead. Let's go back to Revelation 20 and finish the story. Revelation 20, this is the pronouncement. Now that we have the sides, now that we know how he did this, verses 14 and 15, who is going into the lake of fire? It says, and death and hell. If you want to know who death is, look up Hebrews 2, 14 and 15. It tells you Satan has that power of death. He is that death. He's kept mankind in bondage all their lifetime. So Christ says to the ones on the left, Satan and his demons, says, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Nothing comes back from the second death. It's a lake burning with fire and brimstone. You can look over here in your Bible in verse 21, verse 8. It says, but the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers and the sorcerers, these are all the fruits of Satan. This is all what's in Satan and his demons. The idolaters and all the liars shall have their part in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone. This is the second death. And we know that nothing can come back from the second death. Back in verse 15, chapter 20 here, back on the page. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. What book of life? The book of life that all human beings and Moses talked about and that others have talked about. That book of life, that record of mankind. If you weren't written there, you'd go into the lake of fire. Satan wasn't written in there. He's in the lake of fire. He's dead forever. I'll just quote this in Zechariah 14. It goes back with the story flow. And it talks about in verses 8 and 9 these living waters from Jerusalem. And it talks about one Lord. And in verse 11 it says that the Jerusalem shall be safe. And that's the time when this great last day is going to be here. And we come right into Revelation 21. And let's read a couple of verses here. This, brethren, is what's going to be there for all mankind. This is the satanic counterfeit that Satan has tried to put on all mankind and has, till now, till he's been revealed, till that man of sin has been revealed. He tried to tell us that this wasn't going to happen. That God really didn't love you. That you weren't part of God's family. That you were going to tick God off and he was going to kill you. No, Satan ticked him off and he killed him. This is what all mankind is going to see in the great last day. Starting in verse 1 of chapter 21 of Revelation. Remember, this is still a vision. But John is seeing this. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth was passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for a husband. It's white, beautiful, perfect, with all the majesty that goes with that. Just like we have with weddings today, but much greater. Now remember those scriptures I told you to remember. Verse 3, and I heard a great voice, this is the timing, out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with men. That's what we read in Ezekiel 37, verse 28. We read that. This is the time when this happens. The great last day. The new heavens and new earth. And to go on further, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. That's in Ezekiel 37, 27. It tells you the timing. Verse 4, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, no more death, no more Satan, no more sin. For the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write these words down, because he's Alpha and Omega, in verse 6, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He talks about that. And verse 7 really refers to the first fruits. And he that overcome shall inherit all things. And we have. And we have overcome Satan now by the blood of Jesus Christ and that Spirit. And we have and we will, and it has been guaranteed us to inherit all things as joint heirs as with Christ. and I will be his God, and he will be my son. And then it goes on to describe a little bit here about how beautiful this kingdom is going to be. It's a marvelous place. And just picking up here at the end for our last scriptures here in chapter 22. This is what people have to look forward to. Living forever, growing forever, their families, and the very knowledge and the Word of God. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life. We've talked about this in that series of the Garden of Eden. It's a tree of life. And you eat off of this tree, you live forever. You eat that fruit. Something in there that only God can provide and makes the human body live forever. Without disease. Actually healthy. Actually getting up in the morning and feeling great. Which bear 12 manner of fruits. And yielded her fruit every month, who's never barren, never desolate, always bearing fruit. That's what God's vines do. They bear good fruit all the time. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse. There'll be no more curse on this earth, ever, ever again. And that curse, as we see, is that flying roll. And the curse is the seven seals that was put upon this earth. But the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no light there in this very throne of God. And there shall be no need of a candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And he's talking there about the first fruits, 144,000. They're going to reign with Christ out of that holy city, Jerusalem. There'll also be a physical city of Jerusalem by it, which King David will be in, and will be that prince. And they will have sacrifices in honor to God on every holy day and every Sabbath and whenever God prescribes it, as we see in the pages of the Bible. Brethren, this is the true plan of God. What we have put out here just by taking one subject of when his different comings were going to be. And these are the five times Christ is going to come to this earth. And these are the sequence of the true sequence of events in God's plan. And this truly is the true plan of salvation, where all mankind is going to be with God. He is going to be their God, and they are going to be his people. And it's going to be a good and joyous and wonderful time. And so, brethren, you know, any aspect of this Bible, anything that we go into, we're always showing this plan of salvation. Because that's the Father's mind, and that's why he's written these things in it. To be a witness that all things come out this way. So this is the last in this series of Satan's second coming. Satan's second coming. talking about Satan going into hell so much. And Christ's second coming. Yeah, I think we've given everyone enough scriptures in this to that you can go ahead and study on your own as well and come up with even more. We can't go through all of them. And next time, what we're going to do in the next 3 or 4 or 5 weeks here before Passover is we did an album and a series on Satan's life and death. I think it's only fitting that we go and through a series of probably 4 tapes, 4 sermons, of Christ's life and death. What did Christ really do here? We're going to go through his parables, what the true meaning of these parables really are now that we know the true plan of God. We're going to look at his miracles. You know, he just didn't do miracles. They all had meaning behind it. And we're going to show what some of those things were. It's going to be amazing to you because we never understood those before. And it showed that everything that Christ did was showing this great last day and this plan of God. And a little bit about the apostles and what they accomplished while they were there with Christ. And of course, his death, which is actually a murder. Satan murdered Christ. And how God viewed that and how God looked upon that. And that should prepare us pretty well for this Passover season. So again, remember to pray for one another. Satan is out there like a roaring lion. And he really is doing bad things. Look at the church. It's all scattered. Now, he was allowed to do it. But the entire church is going to come back together again someday. So have a good week. Pray for one another and keep your head up.